Good morning. Today is Wednesday, February the 3rd, 34th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor out of the 5th. That would be floods, slides, debris on the road. What else has been going on? Trees falling.
Trees. Yeah, it's been nasty.
Yeah. Ryan Sundberg.
Speaking of nasty.
Our quote this morning comes from Voltaire. In 1759, quote, "Opinion has caused more trouble on this little earth than plagues or earthquakes." Thought you'd appreciate that one.
Yeah, I like that one.
So now you kind of shared before the show here that there might be a nasty rumor starting to surface that the general plan is to the point of no longer being editable or adjustable or inputable, and you're going to actually have something in concrete to work with? Well, true or false?
I guess I would be a fool to say never, but yeah, Monday we finished the...
That's one person's opinion.
It's, yeah. What are... Opinions are like, is that that quote that starts off
No,
like
that wasn't Voltaire.
No. That was somebody else. But on Monday we finished the Planning Commission's recommendations from the ones that had, the decisions that had to go back because the Planning Commission hadn't taken up the issue yet. So if we made changes that the Planning Commission had not had before them, we had to send them all back for their blessing, and they got that back to us very quickly. And
blessed?
Blessed. Okay. Blessed and passed on. And so those are all finished. And the next step is for staff to do the environmental impact report update, because they have to go and update the impact report based off of what we've done.
So whatever the changes were.
Whatever changes that we did.
From the last reference point.
Yeah. And so they're going to go back and update that. And hopefully it comes back for approval. So it's... We're so on the very last legs of this thing. I know people laugh whenever you say that, but
right, and they're old rickety legs too.
It's time. It's time.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. People have been born and died since this process began.
I can see that.
Kind of a simple little.
Certainly, lots of scars left in the lake.
Yes. So, how many man hours is it going to take to go through this EIR process? Is it another couple hundred, couple thousand? You're running one wheel short right now.
Yeah, I mean they have the base work from the first one, and so they have to just go through and look for consistency, and then make sure that one part doesn't say something completely opposite of the other part, and they go through and do that, and then they update the EIR. So they're not starting over because they have the base.
It's just a punch list of the changes.
Yeah, just what are the changes? How does it affect the environment? And then run through it. There's some places like out in Fieldbrook where we added density out there, so you can have two units. In some spots where the Planning Commission before only had one unit, where you couldn't split the property, and now you can.
So does that mean like traffic study reports?
Yeah. What does it do to the environment?
Water and that doesn't sound like a two-week process.
Well, most of it's finished.
That one simple change is an example.
No, it's months. It's months to do this. Yeah, this is not a couple-week process.
So maybe by next. Maybe by the time we have our next swearing-in ceremony with the president, maybe 12 months from now.
Yeah, I would. We're all hopeful that it's less than that, but it's definitely doable in 7 months, 6 months, maybe. I'm saying between 6 and 8 months.
You heard it here, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time, it's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, the general plan itself, has it become an albatross?
Oh, boy. That's a good question. Has it become an albatross? No, I mean, it was daunting to begin with, when we first got the recommendation from the Planning Commission, and then, you know, campaigning on changing that and making it.
This was the second campaign, not the first?
Both.
Oh.
Both.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I it took way longer than I expected, you know, but we got, you know, a lot of changes done to the general plan that I think will make a big difference, especially when someone goes to pull a permit and they find out what they can and can't do, because I don't think most people pay attention to it until they're actually at that stage. And I think
impacting their life.
Yeah. So I think people realize that we made a lot of thoughtful choices in there that you know, try and balance out the environment with building and, you know, and take care of those issues. And I think the big thing for us was to change that and do what it took to make those changes. And we did that. It took some time, but I definitely think that it was worth it, and people will appreciate it as time goes on.
But doesn't have to be updated in 5 or 10 years?
Is
that the ongoing cycle?
We're going to take a look at it every 5 years to just see what needs to be updated so that there's not a massive overhaul again in 20 years and take 14 years to pass it. So, you know, this is going to be the base, and then we'll make, you know, changes as time goes on, and they'll have to do a new one next in 20 years after it gets passed. And hopefully that process will be a lot simpler with the every 5 year refresh of it.
But then at least you'll know what you're doing.
Well, that's probably debatable too.
In 20 years.
In 20 years, I don't think I'll be here.
Oh, good. You picked up on that little subtlety there. Huh?
Yeah.
I don't think I'll be here then either. How's that?
I like it. Yeah. Okay. We'll both be on a beach somewhere, hopefully.
Yeah.
Not together.
Well, there could be long separation. It could be a really long beach, right?
Okay. Fair enough.
Let's talk a little bit about the staff. Phil Smith Haynes is now gone.
Yes.
Poof. Yeah, as Dad used to talk about, folks, you know, we may miss you when you're gone, but it's kind of like pulling your foot out of water. Mm-hmm. We will adjust.
Yeah.
How do you adjust in a situation like this? Because you don't have somebody. You got interims. You got people with experience. Okay, fine. But until it's their gig, so to speak, it's more of a tread water. But you got the budget coming out around the corner.
Yeah, we're lucky Phil put a pretty strong department together, and that was one of the reasons why we were comfortable doing an interim and giving ourselves some time to find somebody, is because that department's well put together. They know what they're doing. Phil, over time, had empowered his staff to take over pieces, and so we just don't have any worry that something's going to fall apart between now and the time we find somebody. You know, this position is a lot easier to fill than the Health and Human Services Director position. So,
now, wait a minute.
Okay, go ahead.
It's easier to replace the boss than it is one of the managers. Does that mean that Phil did an extraordinary job in setting it up and empowering, and
Phil,
the other department, the department rather than the county, didn't? I can't imagine a department is more complicated than the entire body whole.
So the CAO is not in charge of the other departments, first of all. The Board of Supervisors is the boss of each department head. So the CAO.
Even the appointed.
No. Well, some of them, a little bit. There's like probation has, it's kind of weird. I learned all this once I got into office. I just assumed that the board was.
Yeah, the organizational chart looks like somebody stepped on it.
Yeah.
Tore it up, yeah.
Yeah, so like the probation department is quasi, we pick the person, but then there's like a period of time you can't change anything. Same with the county council. You know, there's you're locked into a certain amount of time, and then we oversee all the rest of the department heads that aren't elected. If they're elected, we don't have any control over them. You know, so what the CAO does is during budget time is he goes and talks to all these different department heads and, you know, works out a budget with each of them. And we just have a really good track record of them all working together. And then the reason I say Health and Human Services is harder to find is because in Humboldt County, we have an integrated system. So first of all, you have California, then you have an integrated system where social services and mental health and everything else is all under one roof. That doesn't happen everywhere. So you have to find someone with experience in all of that. And it's just a lot harder to do than it is to find someone who knows budgeting and can deal with staff.
So as you're trying to figure all of that stuff out, and you've got two, okay, they may not be hierarchical underneath each other, but two significant positions.
Mm-hmm. That is very true. Significant.
I still would think that the CAO, whether they're your guy's representative on the day-to-day activity or they execute the plan that of the long term that the supervisors put together, that would be a more concerning position, because that is the person who is at the hub of the wheel that goes round and round and round. Mm-hmm. And you may have a great person in there, but until it's permanent locked down, that wheel can still fly off.
Yeah, and I wasn't talking about importance. I was talking about easier to find as far as people.
Oh, replaceable. That have
You can find. If we put a job description out and try and hire people, the amount of people we get for Health and Human Services compared to the CAO are going to be, we're going to get way more qualified applicants for the CAO's job.
Because it's more regularly defined.
Similarly. Yeah, and more people do it. You know, there's a lot less people out there that are looking for a job that can do Health and Human Services the way that we do it here.
And I suppose that's a healthy thing rather than a concerning thing.
There's always opportunities.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Ryan Sundberg. Talk Shop presented this morning by CDH Painting and by Redec. Ryan, as you're considering this process, whether it's the budget, whether it's the general plan, employment, all these things that have legacy, does that make the decision-making process for those easier or more challenging because it's not an immediate bring it up, wrap it up, move on?
Mm-hmm. You've got good questions today.
Yeah, I saved them for you, bud.
Yeah. I would say it makes it a little more difficult just because you know that the decisions you're making that impact the future are, you know, those weigh a lot more on you, and you want to make sure that you get it right, you know, so you put more thought and effort into it. And I try and reach out to people I know that have experience in these things that, you know, to give me some advice, and you know, especially for the ones that are going to have a lasting impact. And, you know, hiring people, for instance, it's, you know, we got to get these right, because you get them wrong and things can go downhill quickly. You know, you need the right advice. You need the right people running things, or things can turn quick.
Do you recall, and I know it's personnel related, so it's more of a yes or no, and I would think that you would if it had happened during the 6 years you've been playing, have the supervisors fired a department head? Because I know they're at will, many of them.
No.
Has there ever been a trigger?
No, there's been
workarounds, avoidances, things like that, or no issues?
We've had restructurings, you know, things like that, and people have left on their own.
Right. I just.
But to answer your question, no, there's not. We haven't had to fire anyone, and even though they are at will, and right. They, you know, but sometimes things happen and they leave on their own, and.
That would be.
I'll let you read the
anonymous
lines.
Note with the flaming bag left at their door in the morning. Okay, does that happen regularly? I mean, with the CSAC meetings you guys go to, I'm sure that there's now. This may be over a beer discussion, or it might be, you know, rather than a seminar setting. But is there a discussion about at what point? Where's the tipping point? Where's the level of dissatisfaction? I mean, we hear. Some of the Republican candidates talking about, I'm going to do, I'm going, You know, Trump certainly has a history of that. You have a history of having that flexibility, you know, in your previous employment situations. At what point, is there a defined point where the soups just go, you know, it isn't working out, period? I suppose you'd have to go to HR then and have them pull the trigger.
Yeah, and I don't know where that line is that tips things. It's just, it just happens naturally, you know, it just...
Because you still need three
votes. Yeah, and you can only talk to one other person, so it's kind of hard to figure out sometimes where everyone's at, and then, you know, things happen in open session, and you kind of figure, oh, okay, I'm not alone on this one. And then things happen from there, you know, I think...
But those are all closed session discussions, right?
Some of them are, some of them aren't. Yeah, it just depends.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, you can tell when things are going in public.
If you're
public
paying attention, you can read between the lines.
Yeah, and you can figure out where other people are with, you know. And but I don't know where the tipping point is. And I'm trying to think back of ones that have left of where the tipping point was. And I don't remember a certain thing. It was just a you know, you kind of come into this job with an open mind and try and let everybody, trying to let things that you've heard, put that in the background and really give the person a chance. And then I don't remember where it was where things fell apart, but it just gets there.
With the attempt to kind of avoid situations, do you see that there are a lot of workarounds to avoid those conflicts? I mean, not personnel specifically, but back off a controversial topic. A decision that's not a comfortable one, cutting budgets, things like that, where everybody tries to do a workaround instead of saying, no, you know, we really need to push this way, here's why, and take an arrow or two?
Yeah, that happens for sure. I mean, the first year I was here, we did cuts across the board, and that was hard.
Across the board isn't, I guess what I'm looking at, some guys would take a 5% hit, some guys would take a 2%
hit.
Higher priority in what these guys do rather than what those guys do.
Yeah, we haven't had to do that since I've been there. But I know what
you're
talking
about. You know
where I'm going. Yeah, and that's very, very, very much harder than what we did. So hopefully we don't have to do that. But, you know, we did take the Me Too clause out of the contracts. The unions negotiated a couple of years ago to take out the Me Too clause, and so that's not in there anymore. So there's options now. We don't have to do everything across the board.
So there's some flexibility now.
There is flexibility, and that was something that was important to us because we need to listen to people in the public and, you know, see what their priorities are and be able to have the flexibility as a board to do that. So I'm not saying it's going to happen.
Don't forget the makeup to follow through. I was going to say testicular fortitude, but I thought that might be a little too far.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, but you got the gist of it.
That
anyway.
Was definitely too far.
Yeah, okay. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, this time of the year, you guys start looking at budget. I know that, you know, there was some discussion earlier this week. How long do you allocate for your time to go through the budget? Do you go page one to page 5,028? Or do you rely on the synopsis and the overviews? Or do the departments say, everything's the same as last year with these modifications, and here's the pluses and here's the minuses, and you kind of get a Cliff Notes version.
Yeah, so when I was first on the board, I was on the budget subcommittee, and so I would really get into all the details and each thing. And I actually put myself on there for that purpose.
Great education. But
yeah, because I wanted to get up to speed and know everything. I mean, that's how you figure out everything the county does, is to go each line item and go, okay, that's where money's going here and here, and figure it all out. So that was a good education. I did that for 2 years. And then now I don't have to go through the whole thing anymore, because it's, you know, you kind of get up to speed, and then you just have to really pinpoint the changes. And then look at the 5-year forecast and factor that into the decisions. And, you know, one-time money compared to ongoing expenses are the big, you know, you really, really scrutinize the ongoing expenses, because that's where it's really going to hurt you down the line.
Do you require the department heads, or does the board or the CAO's office require the department heads to provide some kind of a, hear the changes for this year approach, so that you're not having to power through this whole thing all the time?
Yeah, and the CAO's office puts that together, and it does a really good job. They put it in a packet, and it's, you know, they have charts and graphs, and, you know, so you can tell where from year to year the difference is. And then if something looks out of place, then you go back into your thick binder and
your reference materials.
Yeah, go through that closer, or ask questions from staff. And It takes some time to get through it.
Do you have to be an accountant to understand the budget?
No, I'm by no means an accountant, and I understand it fine. And you know, I think that staff does a really good job of presenting it to us, to people that aren't accountants, you know, because they are really bean counters, and then they really put a lot of effort into making it understandable for people that aren't.
A number of years ago now, I think I remember who the CAO was, but I'll just kind of defer on that one. Monies were found in this thing called the motor pool that nobody knew anything, didn't even know the account existed. Have things been learned from that point, so you do know each of the accounts? The county does know everything. They do know the dollars. They do. No surprises? Or are there still some of those things? Let me say it differently. Where's your confidence level with the document that you received, that it really is 100% dialed in?
I guess first I'll say that it's been my experience so far that we are always budgeting very conservatively. And so when the numbers come out, it's not, if there's money they think may or may not come in, they usually leave it out, just because they don't want to give us a rosier picture and have us make decisions based off of something that may not come in. It's easier just to add something later than it is to take something away.
Pleasant surprises.
Yeah. And so my experience in the 5 years that I've been here is it's always been very conservative. And then next I'll say, for my confidence level on things that aren't in there, I mean,
Or that are there, but it may be
that you can't see. Yeah. I could see that happening, just because there's so many accounts, and then things happen without, you know, just from year to year, no changes. And then it becomes, you know, it might start off at $5,000 and end up at $150,000. And there's a big difference between $5,000 and $150,000, and you just don't catch it every year. So I think that kind of thing could happen. But for the most part, I mean, we know where everything is, and the big numbers are always looked at.
Closer. Well, when you find it, let me know, okay?
Yeah, you'd be the first to know.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go ahead and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.